Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masachet Menachot Daf Ayin Bet Amud Bet at the beginning of the seventh parak, which of course is the sixth parak of Mishnayot. Ve'elu Menachot Nikmatzot Ushiarehen LaKohanim. We're picking up really where we left off at the end of the fifth parak, surveying all of the Menachot in which are grouped into those that have particular demands like Hagasha, Tnufa, Shemen, Levona, etc. And now we continue with that, and you could clearly see that the sixth parak was out of place. The following are the menachot that have kmitza, and the remainders are given to the kohanim. And again, like we have before, there's going to be 10. Solot, machavat, marcheshet, chalot, and mekikin, the last two being mafei tanur, minchat goyim, minchat nashim, minchat haomer, minchat chotem, minchat knaot. We know what all of those are. Rabbi Shimon adds in one little knetcher. Rabbi Shimon omer, minchat chotei shel kohanim nikmetzet, even though the mincha of kohanim is going to be all burned up, nonetheless you do kmitza on it, v'kometz karev la'atzman, v'shirayim karevim la'atzman. And the kometz is burned separately, and the shirayim burned separately. Rabbi Papa, kol echad etnan, eser tnan, and again, that there's always 10 on the list. My Kamashlam Lafukim Rabbi Shimon Amar Mechsa Chalad Mechsa Rikikin Yavi. Rashi suggests that Rabbi Shimon would have 11 on the list because he would see Chalot separate, Rikikin separate, and Mix separate. Possible to argue the opposite, that according to Rabbi Shimon there's only 9 Korbanot, which is Mafei Tanur is 1. In any case, Kamashpalan Dilo, Ansar Papa is siding with Chachamim, which is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, who say that you can only bring Chalot or Rikikin because they are distinct Korbanot, thus bringing the list to 10. Now, Ushiarehem LaKohanim, Menalan. How do we know that the Kohanim get to eat all the remainders of the Menachot? Dechtiv Achtiva, the answer is very simple. Wherever it says so, it says so. And it says in a number of the places, the Kohanim eat the rest. Udalokhtiva, but as the fallback, Ktiv Bab, Zotarat Minchak, Revotabene Haron, and in a Pasuk later, Banotet Mena, Yuchlu Haron Vanak, that this is how you bring a mincha, they offer it up, and Aharon and his sons eat the rest. Now, we were not asking about a wheat offering, because that's subsumed under that binyanav. We're asking about barley, which of course is not mentioned in that passage, because there's only two barley offerings. There's minchata omer, which is mentioned in Vayikra Bet, and again in Vayikra Chav Gimel. And there's Minchat Sota, which is only mentioned, of course, in Bamidbar Vav, in the parts of Sota, Bamidbar Vav. So now, Ba'asorin Nami, even barley, we would understand that we would know that the Shirayim are eaten by the Kohanim, Medinik Metzit Shirayim the Kohanim, because after all, there's a Binyanav. What does the barley offering have in common with the wheat offering? Kmitza, and the Shirayim are eaten. So therefore, anytime we have Kmitza, the Shirayim are eaten, and therefore you have it. And so the truth is that that's right, and we're not asking according to the Rabbanan's position. In our Mishnah, we have Rabbi Shimon. There is such a thing as a mincha that has kmitza without being eaten, which means that kmitza doesn't automatically lead to the shirayim being eaten by the kohanim. Now, Rabbi Shimon, so in our Mishnah, he has the minchat chotei of kohanim, which, remember, as a minchat chotei, it has to have kmitza. We'll see the details in a minute. On the other hand, as a minchat kohen, it has to be all burned up. And so, therefore, kmitza does not automatically lead to shirayim being eaten by the kohanim. And according to him, how will we know that minchat sorim is eaten by the kohanim? So, b'nalan, so we have two answers. Amachezki, Adamar Kra, v'chol mincha b'lov Hashem v'chariva l'chol b'nei Aron tihiyah. The Pasuk says, towards the end of Parshat Mincha in Tzav, that every Mincha, whether with Shemen or without Shemen, is given to all of Bnei Haron. Imeno inin lebulah shel chitin, but I don't need this Pasuk to tell me that a wheat offering that has oil in it is given to the Kohanim, because I got that from the earlier Pasuk that I invoked. Now, inyan lebulah shel sorin, it must be referring to the offering of barley that has oil in it, which is the omer. And if it's not needed to teach me about a oil-less, a dry offering of wheat, because I have that again from the first pasuk I invoked, it must be referring to the dry offering of barley, which of course is the minchat sota. Okay, that's the source. The question is the second pasuk I invoked really needed for that? I need it for something else. And by the way, we have a relatively long braita which uses several psukim, all about menachot, all of which mention that it goes to Bnei Aharon, and it goes to Bnei Aharon ish ka'achi, which means everybody gets the proper their own proper amount. How do I know? Let's start with this. How do I know that I'm not allowed as a kohen to swap my minchas part for somebody else's zevach part, meaning I got some bread and he got some meat. And so I could say, you know, I got some meat and bread, you got some meat and bread, you don't like bread, I don't like meat, so I'll swap you and I'll get all bread and you'll get all meat, or vice versa. That every mincha is, every man gets what his portion is, and you're not allowed to swap. So my first application will be swapping mincha for zevach, because after all, the zevach and mincha are not at all in the same category, besides the obvious physical difference. A mincha is something that can be brought as a poor person. A zevach, on the other hand, is something that's brought across the board. But I might be able to divide my mincha for you, swap my mincha for your chatata of that you're eating. Why? Because they're all in the category of a poor man's offering. Ofot are the middle stage of the Korban Olevi Oreid. So we have another pasuk, which is the pasuk about the Marcheshet and the Machavat, which says, again, everybody gets it, ish ka'achiv. So the next stage is, okay, I understand that I can't swap mincha for of, because they're two different categories. One is blood, that's the oaf, and one is just flour. But I might be able to swap bird for meat, because it's all blood. And the pasuk we just invoked, it said, so there's two different statements here, and in each one has to be ish ka'achiv. And by the way, all of this is building on the principle of im eino inyan, meaning none of these are needed to tell me about mincha, therefore they must be applying beyond it to other korbanot that everybody has to keep what they were given. So now I say, fine, halalu asiyatan biyad halalu asiyatan bikli. And so I understand why you can't swap birds for meat, because birds are shechted, but malika is done by the hand. And on the other hand, a zevach is done with a kli. Aval yichalku minachot keneged minachot. Maybe I could swap a marcheshet for a machavat. She'elu elu aseyatam beyad. They're all done by hand. So I started with mincha versus zevach. Then mincha versus oaf. Then oaf versus zevach. All those got knocked out. So now, perhaps, I would still be allowed to swap one kind of mincha for another. Tam lomar b'chol mincha v'lav ha-shemen. That's the pasuk that Chizkiah used. They come out different. One's harder and one's softer. If you got a piece of one machavat and I got another piece of machavat, maybe we could swap pieces. In the same pasuk, so we're parsing out, distributing belula and chareva, each of them, and as a result of that, having these many defining statements that say you must keep what you were given. This is already moot for us because we've already proven our point, which is that is already needed for a different limud. However, parenthetically, how do I know that they cannot swap their chazav ashok they were given from a shlamim? And then two psukim later, v'im al todai akrivenu. The next passage after Torah Mincha is Torah Shlamim, which begins with todai, and todai is a classic kochim kalim. Okay, fine. To finish out the braita, it says ish ke'achiv, ish cholek v'afilu balmum. Any adult man gets a portion, even to balmum, as we saw in Zvachim, and katan cholek v'afilu tam. But a young someone who's not a man below the proper age does not get, even if he has no mum. Now that whole long braita was brought simply to prove that Chizkiah's pasuk is needed for this. It can't be there to teach us that according to Reb Shimon, even a barley offering is eaten by kohanim. The answer is, yes, it can. Because ahu mikol nafka. The limud that we just had about Aharon, Bnei Aharon having to, each of them, keep what they're given, comes from the word kol. Kol min chabulav Hashemet. Right? And ours was from tihiyet. If you recall, a little while ago, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, in his defense of his father's position against Rabbi Shimon, said that if you commit to a minchat mafei tanur, you cannot bring a mix of chalot rikikin, because he used this pasuk, kol mincha b'lav Hashem nechareva, just like b'lav and chareva can't be mixed, similarly, the two mafei tanur options can't be mixed, which is in the previous pasuk. The answer is Elahum mi vichol. The answer is Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's drasha came from the vav vichol, which connected the two psukim. The long piece that we just saw came from kol, and Chizkiah's piece came from tihiyah. So that's Chizkiah, and that's a solid proof that is remains standing. Ravina Amar Atim Tani Levi says I have a different source. Levi taught the following: the Tani Levi in the pasuk towards the end of Parshat Korach that lists all the things that Kohanim were given. It says, what's that? Kol korbanam l'rabot log shem and shel metzorah. Kohanim get that. Sagdat dechamein amin ha'esh, because just before that in the pasuk it says, v'zelachem min ha'esh, this is what you get from the fire, katav rachmana, so kamash malan, so I would think that they only get things that go on the fire, meaning that part of them do. The log shem doesn't go on the fire at all. So the kol korbanam is there to say they get that too. What's that? Rabot minchata omer minchat knaot. It's there to teach you that they even get the remains of the barley offerings. I would think that Kohanim only eat korbanot where their eating affects a kaparat. And therefore, v'haylah hatirka'at, the minchata omer is only coming to imater chadash, and the minchatzota is only there to clarify if she's guilty or not, not for kaparat. Kamash Malan, they get that too. So here you have an explicit source that tells us that they eat that. L'chol chatatam, l'avot chatata of. Okay, we'll finish the pasuk. that the Kohanim also get chatata of. Sakadai tachamen and nevela hi. I would think chatata of's a nevela. Because it wasn't killed properly. Kamash Malan, that they eat it. L'chol ashamam, what's that? L'avot asham nazir, v'asham mitzora. The two ashamot that are brought also not for kapara. Wait, asham mitzora v'hedyektiv. That we have an explicit pasuk. Ki chatata asham hula kohen. That the Asham Mitzorah is given to the Kohen. Both Asham Nazir ke Asham Mitzorah. Not Asham Nazir ve Asham Mitzorah, but rather Asham Nazir ke Asham Mitzorah, that he also gets to eat that. I would think that after all, an Asham Nazir is only there to allow him to drink wine and be Matami Lemait. Well, the answer is it's just like a Mitzorah that's there to allow him to return to the camp and participate in Kodshim. Therefore, Kamash Palan, that he gets to have that too. Now, at the end of the pasuk, it says Asher Yashivu, meaning things that people return, and what's the classic thing people return that they pay back to the Kohanim? That's Gezal Ager. When they stole from a Ger who had no heirs, they have to bring a korban, and the Ger died, they have to return it to the Parsha, Gezal Ager, to be Nimnaso. And it belongs to the Kohanim. And the end of the Pasuk is Lachahi Ulevanecha. This is not a new category, but a parameter for the entire category, Shilchahi Ulevanecha, meaning it belongs to you and your sons, meaning it's not a holy gift that has to maintain its holiness. I feel Kadesh Po Taisha. That Gezal Ager is a gift given to you that's not your property and you can use it for whatever you want and it's 100% your property, which the litmus test of that always is. If he gives it as Kiddushin, is it valid? Okay. And those are the two possible sources that we have. Now, Amar Rav Huna. Shalmei Ovdei HaGoyim Olot. If a Goy brings a Shlomim, it's dealt with as an Olat. Hibaitem HaKrav, Hibaitem HaSfar. It could be, we could rely on a pasuk to teach us this, or a svara. Let's start with the svara. Imaya de masvara, goi libo lo shamayim. What that means, evidently, is he doesn't understand the concept of a korban which is shared by people. So therefore, when he donates a korban, even if he calls it a shlamim because he heard the name, he still thinks that it's all supposed to go up to God, and therefore that's how it's dealt. Vayit emakra, we have this pasuk, ish ish beit Yisrael, and the ish ish, it's important to note this, is the source for saying that non-Jews can offer korbanot. Shukriv al Adonai le'ola. The end of the pasuk says le'ola, which called them a karvi ola lahavi, which means anything they bring is automatically an ola. So Meitav Chama Bar Guria, he has the following challenge. Goy shit nadev lavi shlamim. If a goy volunteers to bring shlamim, it's tanan l'Israel. If it gives it to a regular Jew, Yisrael ochlan, that Jew gets to eat it. Tanan l'kohen, a kohen ochlan. If he gives it to the kohen eats it as the owner of the shlamim. But that means it's eaten as shlamim. It's not an olat. Rabbi Achakamar, what that actually said is as follows. Not that he gave it to the Israel, please give it for me, but Amanachit Kapev in Israel, he brought it and said, I want this to work for the Israel. Then the Israel ochlan, because really the Israel is the owner now. We'd have to posit also the Israel does smich on it. Amanachit Kapev bar Kohen ochlan. Good. Meti Rav Shizvi. So Elam Achotnik Matzot Sharin Koanim. And now we understand why this sugya is here. That's why I refer to it as a backdoor sugya, because he's referring to our Mishnah as part of the discussion. Minchat Goyim is one of the 10 items on the list. And it's a mincha, and it's eaten, which means it's not all an olah. Rabbi Yochanan lo kash, Rabbi Yosef Lili, Rabbi Akiva. The answer is that Rav Huna's statement is based on Rabbi Akiva's limud, and our Mishnah is based on Rabbi Yosef Lili. Titanya ish, ish, ma, tamil lomar ish, ish, thurabot, tavde, kochom, shenonim, nadarim, unedavot ki Israel. What I mentioned a minute ago, that this pasuk, this is the beginning of the pasuk in question, the fact that it says ish, ish, a second ish, is there to tell you even non-Jews can offer korbanot. Nadarim unedavot. What does that mean? So this is now not similar to what Rav Huna invoked. All I know is an Ola Shlamim. How do I know to extend it to Shlamim? Nidrehem. Classic neder is a Shlamim. Todah minayin. What if they want to bring a Korban Todah? Tamalomar Nidvotam. Nidrehem v'nidvotam. Minayin l'arbot ha'ofod v'ayan v'avona v'aitzim. All of these other possible things they could offer that they are offered as that. Tamalomar nidrehem lechol nidrehem. It says lechol nidrehem. Nidvotam lechol nidvotam. Meaning that it's telling you all of the different things that you could volunteer to offer, a goy could also volunteer, and the offering is accepted as is. Imken ma tamalomar olah. So why does the Torah say olah there? Olah prat lenazirut. He says the only thing that's accepted is that they cannot bring a korban nazirut. Okay. Rabbi Kiva Omer, he says the opposite. Asher kivu l'Hashem la'ola, ein li ela ola b'vad. All they can bring is an ola. There we go, and that's Rav Huna. Now, parenthetically, v'hai prat l'nezirut mehacha nafka, the fact that a goy can't bring a korban nezirut isn't inferred from here. Mehatam nafka, from the beginning of Parshat Nazir in Bamidbar Naso, tabra b'nei Yisrael, atal them ishki afli lindor nedu nazir lazir. Meaning, b'nei Yisrael, no dream, v'ein avdei kochavim, no dream. The answer is im mehatam, hatam meaning our pasuk in Kodshim, Havemena korban hu delo leiti. All I would know from there is that they can't bring korban nazirut. On nazirut chalalai, what if they say I'm a nazir, it works. Kamash malan, the pasuk in Naso, to tell me they also can't be nazirim at all. Okay. Kaman azlahadit nan. The following Mishnah in Shkalim follows Rabbi Kiva or Rabbi Yossi Aglili. I'm Rabbi Shimon. Shivaz v'rim itkinu beit din v'zeh achad mian. We had this a little earlier among the takanot that Beit Din made about how to use the public funds for korbanot. If a goy sent an ola, and he sent money to be used for the mincha and the nesachim that go along with it, then they use his money and they buy it. If not, then the truma talishka pays for it, which means you see that a goy can offer up wine and mincha. So lame Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Akiva. It sounds like Rabbi Yosef Glili, who said that a goy could bring all the whole range of korbanot. The answer is no. Fidut Tim Rabbi Akiva. Ola v'chol chaverta. When Rabbi Akiva said they can only bring an ola, what they mean is an ola and its peripherals, which are the nesachim. So we'll see that again now. Mantan l'hadetan rabbanan. The following breita in the parshav nesachim and shlach says ezrach. Ezrach mevin nesachim ve'en a goy mevin nesachim. That only a Jew can bring nesachim, not a goy. I might think that even if it brings an olah, it doesn't require nesachim. Tamalomar kacha. Kacha is an ikuv, which means anytime you bring an olah, you have to bring nesachim. So mani, this seems to be nobody. Lo Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Akiva. Why? I Rabbi Yosef Glili, hamar fil yai nami. He could also bring wine. So, and here you said he can't bring wine. Rabbi Akiva, hamar olah yim midyachrini lo. And on the other hand, Rabbi Akiva should say, even if you offered an olah, the wine shouldn't come along. So, the answer is I could make it either one of them. Maybe that first breita that we had up earlier on the Amud, where Rabbi Yosef Glili was first invoked, where he listed all the things he could bring, maybe wine really shouldn't be on that list. Or it's possible that it's Rabbi Akiva, and when it says Ola, it means Ola and all of its peripherals, as we answered previously. So we'll pick it up in the next podcast with analysis of Rabbi Shimon's opinion about the kmitza of a minchat chote shel kohanim. In the meantime, wish everybody a wonderful day.